find myself. I will write my own praises. And don't you tell me what I can give up in. I will never go wrong. Not long I've given everything I've got. Cause who am I?
I am the champion.
Who am I?
Live on Blog Talk Radio and heard worldwide on the Armed Forces Radio Network, you're listening to the Asylum Fantasy Sports Show.
This is Dave. Thanks for joining us. We are Fligger and Briggs. Drop us a line, you first-time listeners, asylumfantasysports@gmail.com.
Give us a follow on Twitter, a Twitter feed of note, at Asylum Football.
Yes. Well, Rick, here it is, Week 12.
Week 12.
I'll tell you what.
It's almost over, Rick. This is getting depressing.
Well, yeah,
I got to tell you.
It is back against the wall time in a lot of fantasy leagues. You're probably in the next to the last game of the season. And I tell you what, we're looking at Seattle, Buffalo, Cincinnati, and Philadelphia on byes this week.
Big name.
There's some significant fantasy impact right there.
A.J. Green.
Marshawn Lynch, Russell Wilson.
J.D. McCoy. Big names on
Fred
by.
Jackson.
Yeah. You're not missing C.J. Spiller. We'll get into that later.
Foles.
That's what we call addition by subtraction.
Yes,
there.
Indeed. So, I tell you what, it is tough, and this is probably one of the hardest bye weeks we've had all season.
Yeah, no doubt in terms of not we've seen some 16 bye weeks, which is presents challenges, but I think the biggest names, some real top fantasy performers, some guys you can certainly count on, you're missing out on. So definitely something to keep an eye on. And 2 weeks before, to your point, most leagues, the regular season ends in 2 weeks. That's serious business.
Yeah,
right
you're
there.
Not kidding. But hey, we got a good show for you. We got Russ Baxter coming in the second segment. And you know him on Twitter as at It's always at on Twitter.
That's,
you know.
That's good. So
yeah.
you're part way there.
Yeah.
Keep it going. You can do it.
At Bax Football Guru.
There you go. It took you a minute. The panic. I wish everyone could have seen the panic look on Rick's face.
Sometimes you get a little tongue-tied there. I forgot the at. Then when I got the at out, I forgot what I was going
to
say.
It's old age it happens. Speaking of old age, Rick, before we get to the headlines, I got to tell you, I deliberately didn't tell you this before the show. I believe I have reached the octogenarian stage of my life now, if this makes you feel any better. True story. You hate to regale people with trials and tribulations at your home, but a couple evenings ago, my daughter asked after supper for a bowl of ice cream. Being father of the year I am, I gladly complied. So got the ice cream out, grabbed the ice cream scoop. Rick, the ice cream was a little hard. When I stuck it in and really tried to bear down to get the ice cream out, felt a twinge go up my elbow and my hand went numb. I have injured myself scooping ice cream, and I haven't felt right since. So I don't know how you've done this for the last 45 years, being as old as I am now. It's miserable times.
You just learned to live with ice cream elbow.
I guess it's ice cream elbow.
Yeah.
That's what I have. It's very embarrassing.
And you learn little tricks. What you do when you get ice cream for your kid, turn the water on the tap, warm it up, stick the scoop under the hot water, then it slides into the ice cream.
Or I could man up and not injure myself scooping ice cream would be my goal. But
use the hot water.
But apparently that doesn't work so well. So maybe I'll definitely go with the hot water theory. So, Rick, let's get into some headlines here. We got a ton we got to do. We'll get Russ in the second segment. We'll do our game balls, our smelly socks, and lots of fun and frivolity in between, no question about it. Just a little bit of injury news. Of course, we got the game tonight, Saints and Falcons. No major news there. Looks like Roddy White's going to go. Jimmy Graham's foot still holding on for right now, hoping that'll be okay. A lot of fantasy impact in that game. Going into Sunday, Darren McFadden still dealing with that hamstring, hasn't practiced yet. With what Rashard Jennings is doing, boy, you wonder if the Darren McFadden era is finally coming to an end here in Oakland. It started out, I don't want to say well, but better than expected, and here we go again, Rick, 3 or 4 weeks in now with just what's a nagging injury is really all it is.
That's what it is, but that's Darren McFadden, and that's the crime of the whole shebang there. I mean, what a talent, but you just can't keep him on the field.
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, I don't know what Oakland's going to do. But I know he's in a contract year, and if you've got a guy like Rashard Jennings that is stepping up and carrying the load, you know, somebody's going to want to love to throw a little money and gamble on Darren McFadden, thinking, okay, this is the year.
Oh,
kind of like fantasy. You know
right.
Somebody will do it. And he'll still get a good payday, but probably not one that if he had stayed healthy for Oakland.
No, and it's a shame. I still believe, and I say it constantly, I said it all off season, there is no more talented young man in the NFL, raw skill-wise, Rick. This kid, he just can't stay healthy. And what's frustrating, it's never a big injury. It's a hamstring that keeps him out 3 or 4 weeks. Like, hamstrings don't keep most guys out 3 or 4 weeks. A bum ankle, and it never breaks it or tears anything, but a bum ankle will keep him out. It's this guy. I don't want to say he's not tough. I mean, in the NFL, he's certainly right. A tough guy, but just doesn't seem to be able to play through injury, and it's a shame. Somebody who can play through injury, Rick, Adrian Peterson, hasn't practiced yet this week dealing with a groin, but fully expects to play. I don't have any fear of that, and to be honest, I don't have any fear of it slowing him down any.
No, I don't either, and anyone paying attention to that, you know, Peterson owners, start him. He's going to be, unless you see something on game day where he's not playing, he's going to be in there and he's going to be serving you well.
Yeah, if he rolls out there. Jordan Cameron has not practiced yet coming off that concussion he got last week. Hasn't been cleared to practice yet. Only Thursday, fortunately. They play Monday night, so he's got one more chance tomorrow. You should have a good idea tomorrow if he can pass that final test and get himself back on the practice field. So keep an eye on that. Big news here, Rick. Wes Welker also dealing with a concussion. He does practice today, and I have to believe anything within the bounds of the law and good taste, Wes Welker is going to get himself on there. This guy's my early candidate for start of the week with a little revenge factor going on there. And with a guy like Peyton Manning, who I'm certain is willing to play along, who's no fan of the Patriots himself, I think Wes Welker's gearing up for a massive game Sunday night.
Yeah, I have no doubt that he's going to be playing. I think that's going to be a very interesting game, and you know, a couple things stuck out in mind when I wrote my blog predicting the games for our website. Two things stick out in this game. Right now, number one, Denver has too many weapons.
True.
For New England. And number two, it's not a playoff game, which tells me, you know, if you want to bet on Peyton Manning against Tom Brady, now's the time
to
do it.
Now. Don't do it in the snow in January. And I think the story may be written differently there. Although maybe not this year. I'll tell you, Brady certainly had a huge game against the Steelers going into the bye week. Sort of pedestrian last week. And I want to talk about when we get in the game balls, and I want to talk about Cam Newton. But, Rick, I'm starting to wonder, and I know this wasn't in what you talked to Russ about. I want to get his opinion, an expert's opinion. This Carolina Panthers team, Rick, looks for real to me. The way that defense plays, when Cam Newton is on, that team can play with and beat anybody. I don't know if it's too late for them to make the playoffs at this point, but that was a statement win there on Monday night.
Carolina?
They're
7-3.
You're right. But I mean, being in that division in there with the Saints,
they may not win the division.
That's what I meant. Yeah. They'll get themselves in as a wild card, certainly. But I'm starting to think, you know, they were, I think, benefiting from a soft schedule up until last week. Then you turn around, winning as well.
They're weaning themselves from losing.
Yes, weaning themselves from the – thank you. Good save there, Rick. That's a professional radio host right there. Winning breeds winning. I honestly believe that. And maybe they beat up on the lower echelon of the league, but it geared them up. They've gotten used to winning. They've learned how to win. And you go out there at home on primetime football and beat New England Patriots in what was a fantastic game finally on a Monday night.
And bear in mind, coming off a victory against San Francisco the week before.
So I think Carolina is just the real deal.
And I agree, San Francisco, and of course I was saying this to a lot of people's chagrin in the preseason, that I didn't think San Francisco was the juggernaut that everybody thought they were coming into the season. However, I thought they were a very good team. And they went in there and beat a good San Francisco team. And now they beat New England. They're 7-3. They're on a roll. And that defense, it's the stingiest in the league.
No question.
Nobody's given up fewer points, including Kansas City.
Yeah, exactly. And I think what you like to see there, you look at those two games against two top NFL teams. I agree the 49ers not who we thought they were. However, they go out there and they win, 10-9, something like that.
Right, exactly.
But then if you need a little offense, they turn around and do what they did to New England and beat them on offense as well. So this team geared up for a playoff run.
Yeah, talking about defense, I'm going to give you a little question here.
Oh, okay. It's the quiz portion of the show.
Right. Jacksonville, Washington, Minnesota, Atlanta.
Okay.
What do those four teams, besides that they're crummy, have in common?
What do they have in common? That they
this
are
year.
Better than the Houston Texans defense.
They're the only four that have given up more points than the Houston Texans.
I knew
defense.
It had to be a Houston Texans
Houston
thing.
Texans
for you. They have
defense.
Drawn your ire recently.
They still have the number one overall defense. I'm using air quotes
here. I do see the air quotes.
But they're fifth from the bottom in points given up. Now, granted, some of this stuff, points given up have been pick sixes and so
true,
forth. It's not
true.
Totally on the defense.
And Matt Schaub contributed a little.
Yes, but they are not. They're anything but a dominating defense is what you may think and say, oh, the number one defense in the league. They're giving up a ton of points.
Hey, watching countdown to kickoff for the Thursday night game here, whoever picked out the Falcons cheerleaders, I just want to give you a big old thumbs up. Well done. Yeah. I'm sorry, Rick. Let's get back to the headlines here. Last thing I have,
please.
Case Keenum, after all that drama last week, Case Keenum been named the starter for the Texans this week. I know you have some opinions on that matter.
Yeah, I'm actually glad that they're doing that, quite frankly. We talked about this a little bit before the show, but you don't like me to rant before the show. You'd rather be rant on the show.
Don't look at me before the show.
And the thing is, I was extremely upset. You have Matt Schaub throwing pick sixes every game. Andre Johnson had zero touchdowns. Houston was on this skid. Gary Kubiak makes the call. All right, we're benching Schaub and we're bringing in Case Keenum. Granted, Houston has not won. Case Keenum went for three games, passed for 800, I can't remember the exact, but by 822 to 25 yards, seven touchdowns, no picks.
Okay.
He did have a fumbled loss. Okay, but okay, now bear in mind, this is a second-year guy, a very young player. Okay, he's getting his fourth start. They were losing. 2.5 quarters worth of play. He's got 170 yards, a touchdown, and a pick. He gets yanked.
Third game of his career, one pick.
Yeah, but his fourth game.
Fourth game of his career.
He gets yanked for Matt Schaub, who predictably goes in, can't seem to score. Him and Andre Johnson get into a shouting match. Andre Johnson storms off the field.
Just leaves the field. I'm done.
And It just kills me. And then Gary Kubiak names him the starter and then turns around and says that Keenum needs to develop a sense of when and where not to leave the pocket. He told Houston Chronicle reporters, you don't want to ever take away his ability to make plays. I want him to react and do those type of things. He's a young player. Your season's tanked. How do you think this guy learns this stuff? By getting yanked because he throws a pick?
A pick.
I mean, it's ridiculous.
In four games, a pick. Yeah, no doubt about it.
It's
so
ridiculous.
So. Unfortunately for Casey Kasem there, or fortunately for him, I guess he should stay. So, Rick, let's take a little break. We are leading up to Russ Baxter joining us, so we will do that. We will be back in just a second. And we're back on the Asylum Fantasy Football Show, not live on the Armed Forces Radio Network, but heard on the Armed Forces Radio Network on a football Sunday.
Yeah, worldwide. And we are pleased as punch to bring in Russ Baxter. You probably heard him on many different radio shows, the Doug Gottlieb Show and CBS Sports Radio. Rick's trying to connect to him, so we'll just pad a little bit.
Yeah, we'll just pad.
It's no big deal.
Waiting for Russ to come in.
Yeah.
In the meantime,
hey, but speaking of Case Keenum and Casey Kasem.
They're not the same guy, right?
No, they're not. But
okay.
I do have a little Casey Kasem story.
Oh, okay.
And
it just so happens
we talked about Casey Kasem last Sunday on the Inside Slant.
Casey Kasem got a lot of run on the Sunday Slant.
And lo and behold, I'm surfing the internet, and a story came up. I believe it was like Wednesday. I don't really know. Tuesday or Wednesday.
Just about him being locked in the house and stuff.
Yeah.
See, I told you.
You looked
at me like I was crazy.
And they come up, and there was a judge ruled on this. Oh, on Tuesday, the judge ruled on this. And I'll read a little bit of the story. Casey Kasem is receiving good medical care in a conservatorship is unnecessary for the ailing radio personality, a judge ruled Tuesday. Superior Court Judge Leslie Green urged lawyers to reach an agreement that would allow three of Kasem's adult children to visit their father, who is suffering from advanced Parkinson's disease. The children said they are being blocked from seeing their father by his wife of more than 30 years. So this isn't a new one.
Yeah,
I mean,
they
know the kids.
This isn't some new tart. Yeah, this is 30 years.
And, okay, what really gets me, that they say the judge acknowledged that there's bad blood in the family, but noted a doctor who has evaluated Kasem reported he wants to see his children. The guy's 81. The kids are probably in their 50s, 40s or 50s, somewhere along the line, 30s to 50 somewhere. I just can't understand this one. And how do you
it's
block?
A shame.
I mean, Parkinson's is not like he's mentally gone. He's physically, but he wants to see his kids.
Yeah,
and I just can't see a wife not letting the kids come in.
Yeah,
but, hey, that's enough of Casey Kasem.
Enough of Casey Kasem, you say.
Yeah, we'll get back to him. But I guess we have him on the line now. We're going to bring in Russ Baxter. Like I said, you heard him on the Doug Gottlieb Show and CBS Sports Radio, and he can tell you all about everything else. Russ, welcome to the asylum.
Well, hello, gentlemen. How you doing tonight?
Fantastic. Great to hear from you. So why don't you tell everybody before we get into it just where they can find all your work?
Well, if you're a fan of Twitter, you can find me on Bax Football Guru or follow me there. I have my own website, profootballguru.com, which kind of houses all the sites I write for across the country, Yahoo Sports, Post Game, Bleacher Report, Cold Hard Football Facts, Pro Player Insiders, et cetera, et cetera. I don't think et cetera is a website, but you can try it. And then, of course, if you're on Facebook and you want to read all those pieces as well, we have a Pro Football Guru Facebook, and we ask that you like it. Even if you don't love it, at least like it.
Yeah, mildly like it, anyhow.
I mean, if you have some sort of affection for it, we'll take the like.
Yeah, we don't have to love things. We can just, taller button, you know.
There's no commitment. It's a like.
Exactly.
No.
Hey, Russ, I just wanted to – we were just talking about Case Keenum. I don't know if you heard it before you got on or not. And I was kind of venting a little bit on how Kubiak yanked him in the last game. I mean, the kid's young. The season's tanked. And Shaw goes in predictably. You know, they blow a scoring drive. Him and Andre get into a real shouting match. And what's going on there? I mean, your mind. To me, I think it's just – mishandled from Kubiak, to be honest with you.
Well, I think it's the residual effect of the entire season. Unfortunately for the Texans, they've now set records 3 years in a row. The first two were good, and then this one is bad. They had never won 10 games before when they did it in 2011. They had never been to the playoffs or won a division title. They did all that. Last year, they won 12 games and defended their title. And this year they've lost 8 games in a row, which is the longest losing streak in the history of the franchise. So third time, not necessarily the charm. But I think this is the residual effects of what happened late last season, where they were 11-1 and just kind of slumped down the stretch. And Matt Schaub did not play very well. He looked like a quarterback that was either hurt or lost his confidence. Last year they had some injuries on defense, losing Brian Cushing, Jonathan Joseph for a spell. But Cushing for most of the season. That defense, which was so phenomenal in 2011, really hit the skids the second half of the year. And then they get to the first two games this year, and they won them. But they had to come back from 28-7 to beat the Chargers. They had to come back and win in overtime to beat the Titans. And that was the start of the, five-game stretch where we saw Houston quarterbacks throwing a pick six every week, which had never been done. And I think the residual effect of games like that where they felt like they were giving away a touchdown every game. Then, of course, they blow the lead to the Seattle Seahawks at home. And then, almost a proverbial nail in the coffin, per se, with a chance, and I mean this sincerely, a chance to get back in the divisional race. They host the Colts on the Sunday night, and Case Keenum and Andre Johnson look like Andrew Luck and Ty Hilton in the second half. Okay, and they let that game get away, and that was all. That really was over, and all you said and done. And you look, last week they lose at home to the Raiders. This looks like a demoralized football team. You combine what happened with Coach Kubiak, which was sad, and I just think tensions are mounting there. This was a team that a lot of people thought would be a Super Bowl team, And now this is a team that's got to run the table to avoid a losing season.
Yeah, that's true. I actually talked to a guy in the preseason, and his prediction was Atlanta and Houston in the Super Bowl this year. And
That would have been like the Matt Schaub Bowl. That was Matt's former team and then his current team. And unfortunately, they both have something in common right now. They're both 2-8.
Yeah, no question about it. I don't think two bigger disappointments. One thing that's a big surprise, we were talking about before we went on the air, before we get into a little fantasy football, coming out of Monday night, Russ, I was so impressed by what the Carolina Panthers did. This team looks like they're for real for me in prime time now, granted at home, slowing down that Patriots offense just enough. Cam Newton just playing like a superstar. This Carolina Panthers team, I believe, when you look at a team like Atlanta falling off, this Panthers team may make some noise going into the playoffs.
Far be it from, anyone to realize that they're certainly within range of catching the New Orleans Saints, which is why this game tonight is so very important. It's a divisional game. I know Atlanta's struggling, but, I remember when Drew Brees was in this building last year, his touchdown streak ended, and he threw five picks. So never say never. I know that was in a different Atlanta team, but, right now the Saints have the Panthers right on their tail and winning these divisional games are very important. Those teams haven't met yet, New Orleans and Carolina. And I find it intriguing because, as you guys know, the last couple of weeks we've been talking Denver, Kansas City. We'll talk about Denver, Kansas City next week. The teams playing each other twice in 3 weeks. And can the powerhouse offense of the Broncos and the powerhouse defense of the Chiefs, it's that clash of styles. Well, that's the AFC version. And the NFC version we're going to see in a couple of weeks when Carolina and New Orleans play, I believe, twice in 3 weeks. The powerhouse offense of the Saints with an improved defense against this amazing Carolina defense. I don't think people realize. I'll just throw out my favorite number when it comes to them. They've played 10 games. They've given up 11 touchdowns, and they've given up one touchdown in the first half all year.
Yeah, I mean, that's just incredible. There's no question. And there's not a lot of people that would have predicted that at the beginning of the season. I know that. And
no, I had Carolina. It's funny. I had them early last year. I thought they were going to be a sleeper as far as winning the division. I had them in the playoffs this year. I knew their defense would be better, but this is some kind of defense they're playing right now. I mean, they've given up 135 points, 13 and a half a game, and again, one touchdown in the first half. And and I think what's interesting about them is the way their schedule played out this year. And I am not a big schedule guy. I know people like to look at the schedules and forecast win-loss records in April, which I find remarkable because I don't know anyone who can even predict the weather on a daily basis, and no one I know can pick football games weekly. So, to pick a whole season in April, I mean, that's astonishing. I got to get some Powerball numbers from those people. But what I find interesting is the way their schedule was set up, and that's the stuff I look at with the schedule. Their first six games of the year, guys, no divisional foes. Then they played Tampa and Atlanta in back-to-back weeks, and now they're once again in the midst of a stretch where they don't play anybody in the division. They knocked off San Francisco. They knocked off New England. If you weren't paying attention to them 2 weeks ago, you are now after beating those two teams. They get Miami this week, who, by the way, their franchise has never beaten. It's the only franchise they've beaten, 0-4 lifetime. And then four of their last five games, guys, are against their NFC South rivals. And that's what's going to make this an interesting finish for them. But that defense, here's one other way to look at it. That defense was good enough to trade away John Beeson in October to the New York Giants.
Right, exactly. And, a lot of people question those kind of deals. And, I mean, for the most part, sometimes the deals do go awry, but, you get inside a locker room, that those guys see things a lot more than we do, that's for sure. It brings to mind the trade of Trent Richardson from Cleveland to Indianapolis, and everybody thought, well, they're just mailing in the season. And, Trent Richardson's really not showing anything. I mean, Donald Brown, to me, is looking like a much better back.
What's funny? I'll say this. I'm going to take a totally different spin on you. And by the way, I totally agree with you. If they wanted Trent, if they wanted Trent Richardson to be a 1,000-yard back, I think they expected him to get it like in 1 year. If you know what I mean,
right?
Like 1 year.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly.
I'll say this, and I don't even know if this is the case. But I find it interesting that Donald Brown has run a lot harder since Trent Richardson got there.
Yeah, I've noticed that myself. In fact, Rick and I have talked about this. He runs so much different than what, you know, Donald Brown. We used to just get on Donald Brown. Like, you know, you get him on, people draft him in fantasy and so forth. And, it, you know, it's never the year for Donald Brown. Well, this year he's emerging actually as a legitimate running back.
Yeah, I think, you know what, listen, between last year, you know, they drafted Vic Ballard, who turned out to be their leading rusher. They brought in, you know, Donald Brown, as you know, was a first-round draft choice in 2009. Right. And over the last couple of years, they've drafted a back who wound up leading the team in rushing. They traded for a guy who was the third pick in the draft. You know, if I'm Donald Brown, maybe I'm, you know, noticing these guys in the locker room and saying, hey, you know, it's time for me to do something here. It's time for me to maybe show why they felt I was a first-round draft choice. No, it's funny. You know, you can never get controlled where you're drafted, as we all know and stuff. But and expectations always come with the first-round picks. And Donald Brown has not been that back. And you know, that was surprising because if you know Bill Polian's history with running backs, you know, throughout his general manager career with Buffalo and Carolina and Indianapolis, he not only found guys later rounds, he found undrafted guys like Dominique Rhodes and so on, and always did a great job. You know, Thurman Thomas, he did a great job. He's one of the guys who knows running backs. So, you know, he didn't swing and miss very often when it came to the position. And Donald Brown looked like a big disappointment, but he has run with a little bit of purpose this year.
Yeah, no question. But and you look at the Colts, I find it interesting as I look at the AFC in general. You have the Colts at 7-3, pretty much have that division wrapped up. But the amount of injuries they've suffered, you really wonder about them in the long term. You got New England, who has been – they're winning, but I think winning unimpressively, save for the bludgeoning of the Steelers a couple of weeks back. You got the Bengals doing everything they can to give the North back. I mean, this really looks like this simply comes down to the Broncos and the Chiefs at the end of the year. I never fail to believe in Tom Brady once January comes around, but just the AFC is just underwhelming as a whole.
Yeah, and they got off to such a good start when they were playing the other conference as well. I mean, we've seen what the AFC West has done to the NFC East. Denver, Denver's had a field day, you know, playing against the NFC East year. They swept them, and I think they scored 189 points in the four games they played against the NFC East. Well, lo and behold, now the NFC teams have really started to dominate. The season series has switched. The NFC's leading it now. And I agree. You look at the AFC from top to bottom, and there are – certainly teams that are improved, but there's too many instances. I mean, when you look at, for instance, the AFC North and the AFC South, where they only have one team with a winning record. The same thing with the AFC East. At least you have 2 5-5s there.
Right.
But, I mean, you know, the thing that might amaze people is this is honestly, as we all know, there's 16 teams in every conference. And the AFC only has 5 winning teams, which is absolutely astonishing. Now, everybody in the AFC is either have a winning team or they're 4-6. Okay, we have more 4-6 teams in the AFC, which I think there are 6 of them, than teams with winning records, which are 5.
Sounds like most fantasy leagues I'm in right now.
I believe there's 9 teams, if you count Buffalo at the 4-7 because they go into the bye. If you go from Buffalo up to Miami at 5-5. I believe there's 9 teams in that record of 4-6 and 5-5. And they're essentially 9 teams playing for one playoff spot.
Yeah, and listen, these teams in the league know. See, I think they're all playing possum, to be honest with you, because they know if you're going to win the Super Bowl these days, guys, you only have to win 10 games during the regular season.
That's
okay?
It.
So that's it. Because, and by the way, that's not a one-year trend. That's a three-year trend. Our last 3 Super Bowl champions are 10-6, 9-7, and 10-6.
Right. That's an amazing stat. And you go back, I don't know what it is all the way back, but I know the Steelers in 05 were 10-6 and snuck in.
11-5.
Where they were 11-5?
Yeah,
were 11-5 in a wild card team. But I know what you're alluding to. Here's the thing that might boggle some minds. We have now gone 9 straight years, and I don't know what this year is going to bring. We've gone 9 straight years in the NFL where the team with the best record hasn't won the Super Bowl.
Yeah, no question about it. I think it's at any given Sunday. Then if you jump to the NFC, I got to tell you, it's not that much different. You've got the mess that the NFC East is. You've got the North. They can't seem to work it out. The top three teams all with the tied or within a game of each other. Outside of New Orleans, Carolina, and Seattle, we're in the same boat. They talk about parity, and I assume they want parity in the NFL. If that is their goal, boy, they got it.
Well, I think the difference in the NFC is that you seem like you have races in the NFC at the moment, in the NFC, opposed to the AFC, where you're waiting for maybe a race to be created other than Denver and Kansas City, okay? I mean, Cincinnati is off this week, and no matter what happens, they're going to have at least a two-game lead. New England plays this week, and, you know, depending on what the Jets and the Dolphins do, I mean, they could have still a one-game lead if they lose. But, like, in the NFC, if Dallas wins this week, them and Philly are tied. Detroit and Chicago are already tied. Carolina is one game away from New Orleans. Now, Seattle, as you say, does have a little distance, but, you know, now San Francisco and Arizona are tied for second. So it's there is a degree of parity to it, but on the other hand, there's at least, it seems like, some races in the NFC. I still think there will be races in the AFC. They just have yet to materialize.
And I think the big thing for me is I look at the NFC. I wouldn't be surprised Aaron Rodgers comes back, Green Bay goes on a run, and that team could be a Super Bowl contender. You've got New Orleans doing what they're doing. San Francisco, if Colin Kaepernick could put it back together, which I have serious doubts about. Really, Dallas, New York even, this is what the Giants do historically. They get hot in November and December. I wouldn't be stunned to see any of these teams make a run and find their way to the Super Bowl. On the other hand, I don't see but two, and maybe I still have a hard time, even with that defense, counting Kansas City as a legitimate Super Bowl contender. It almost just seems like a battle to the playoffs, and we'll see what happens in the AFC. I could see any of four, five, or six teams in the NFC emerging and being a legitimate Super Bowl contender.
Yeah, and I agree with you on the Aaron Rodgers call, because when it's all said and done, the Packers have lost three games in a row. And losing three games in a row and not having their quarterback for basically all three games, there's still only one game out of first place. You know, they get the Vikings this week, and I don't know how Aaron Rodgers is feeling, but Thanksgiving Day at Detroit, and if somehow Green Bay can win that game with or without him, that would mean they would have swept the Lions, and that will be huge, because remember, this was a division last year where the Packers won 11 and the Vikings and the Bears both won 10. I don't think we're going to get three 10-win teams this year, but that tells you something about the competitiveness of the division in general.
Yeah, I don't believe you're going to have a 10-6 team in that division not in the playoffs either. I mean, or anywhere, quite frankly. I there's just no way. To me, I mean, Chicago 10-6 last year missed the playoffs, and I think you
I think there's going to be a 9-7 in the NFC at the very least that I don't think is going to make it. And the team that's really intriguing down the stretch to watch, I think, or two of them actually, are Philadelphia and Arizona, just based on who they're playing.
Yeah, and it was kind of interesting to see Carson Palmer finally come to life a little bit. I certainly don't expect that much every week, but, you know, you know he can wing it around, and, you know, if they can just give him, you know, adequate protection.
Keep him upright.
They could certainly make a little noise in that division.
Well, listen, going into this year, this is a Cardinals team that had allowed at least 50 sacks 3 years in a row. 48 games the last 3 years, they allowed 162 sacks. I mean, there aren't grocery stores that have that many sacks. Okay?
There we go.
There you go. Oh, I got a million of them. But, you know, and a little better this year, and the one thing that Bruce Arians has done is tried to – now, they couldn't run to save their lives last week against Jacksonville, which was kind of stunning. But they got the 400 yards passing from Carson Palmer. Arizona is so intriguing because they've now won three in a row. I didn't think defensively they would be as good as they were because they lost, I thought, one of the promising young coordinators in this league. Ray Horton went to Cleveland. He's done a great job with the Browns, by the way. I didn't know if Todd Bowles could do the same thing, but – Arizona is so funny because remember last year, they forced 33 turnovers last year for a 5-11 team. Of course, they turned over the ball 34 times. So lo and behold, what do we get with Arizona this year? Well, they have 22 takeaways, and they have 21 turnovers. So, I mean, they're right on course for what they do. And by the way, talk about maybe not the best game of the week, but the most intriguing game of the week. Indianapolis goes to Arizona this week, where Bruce Arians, who was named Coach of the Year for what he did for the Colts last year when Chuck Pagano was gone, is now in the running for Coach of the Year in his first job with the Arizona Cardinals.
Yes, indeed. That's for sure. And that's going to be a tough game. I mean, you know, you're going out to Arizona, number one, and if Indianapolis starts falling behind and get their butts kicked the first half like they have been, they're going to be in a world of trouble, I think, because that division, that defense, I mean, like you said, it's a ball-hawking defense that causes a lot of havoc.
Mm-hmm.
And Indianapolis just can't afford to do that. And, you know, we were talking about that. You start falling behind to a Denver or New England or somebody that knows how to put the boot to the throat, they just don't have much life, I don't think.
Well, I mean, you bring up a great point. Indianapolis has dug some holes 3 weeks in a row now. I mean, they were way behind against Houston and won. They never caught up against the Rams, which was one of the more startling scores of the season. You look at last week on Thursday night, they fell behind Tennessee 14-0, managed to come back and win 30-27. So they keep on digging themselves holes, and you're right. They dig themselves a hole against Arizona. You know, when you got guys like John Abraham and Darrell Washington and Calais Campbell who can get after the quarterback, that's not a great line, offensive line, that the Indianapolis Colts have. And you know, lo and behold, you look at what Arizona has done. Now, Arizona's biggest problem is they can't beat anybody in their division. You go back to last year, you know, they were the first team to see Russell Wilson last year, and they beat him. And they haven't won a divisional game since. They're 8 straight losses in the division. But lo and behold, look at who they've beaten this year. They beat Detroit. They're the last team to beat Carolina, by the way, since Carolina's gotten hot.
That's right.
Okay? So, you know, this is not, you know, this isn't just them a lot of people say, oh, they're feasting on the Rams. Well, they lost to the Rams, okay? But they're beating other teams. And it was the way they beat Atlanta a couple weeks ago when they ran for over 200 yards. So I like to give credit where credit's due. They've won 3 in a row. Very interesting physical football team to watch, and just fascinated by the Bruce Arians situation here. And this will be a really interesting homecoming in some way.
Yeah, no question about it. So, Russ, we're getting up against the clock here. So since we've talked about all this and looked at all these divisions, if you have your crystal ball out, how do you see this thing all shaken out in February?
Well, my preseason pick, which I always stick with, was Cincinnati to defeat Seattle in Super Bowl 48. I have no reason to change that right now. By the way, I got very fortunate last year before the season started. I picked San Francisco to beat Baltimore in the Super Bowl in August. And other than getting the final verdict wrong, you know, so far, if you go by my picks, Seattle will beat Cincinnati in the Super Bowl.
All right.
Well, I'm going to have to go along because I had Seattle beating Denver, so we're at least on the same track.
Well, listen, any Russell that does well in this league, I have no problem with whatsoever. And you got to like the Seahawks because they have two Russells. They have Russell Okung and Russell Wilson. So the more Russells, the better. So if Seattle winds up winning the whole shebang, I'll take some personal pleasure in it somehow.
Hey. Claim it wherever you can. Well, Russ Baxter, we certainly appreciate your time this week. Why don't you tell everybody one more time where they can find you?
On Twitter, it's Bax Football Guru, and we tweet literally, I think, 26 hours a day.
Wow.
Well, listen, you know, it's funny. I get people will send me a note at 5:00 in the morning, and they'll say, "Don't you ever sleep?" And I say, "Yes, February. I sleep in February." Okay.
But, a good month to do it.
It's 5 months to just have a ball watching this, so, and that's how I've always treated it and so on. And by the way, thank you very much for asking me to come on tonight. I really enjoyed it. The website is profootballguru.com, and it'll take you all to the different things that I do with Bleacher Report and Cold Hard Football Facts and Yahoo Contributor and the post game on Yahoo. And for people who like history, by the way, Pro Player Insiders is a site. I do a history lesson every Wednesday in which I look at a week current matchup and then go back and look at a matchup from the past. Like this week, Denver, New England, we We went back and looked at the game 10 years ago. Remember when Bill Belichick took the intentional safety on a Monday night and came back and beat the Broncos at Mile High. And then there's a Pro Football Guru Facebook page. We hope you will like it. The more likes, the better. But we're having a ball, and again, thanks for having me on.
All right, we sure appreciate it. Let's do it again soon, Russ.
You got it. And by the way, every week when you guys retweet me and stuff, I really I do sincerely appreciate it. But I've been wanting to say this to you ever since, and I think I'm going to. Is it Fleeger 7 and Briggs nothing, or Briggs 7, Fleeger nothing?
In what?
Score, anything.
Oh, it's always Briggs 7, Fleeger nothing.
Well, okay. I just wanted to find it.
Briggs,
you know? I mean, I'm one of those people who, if I get a tweet from Procter & Gamble, I will retweet back Procter 7, Gamble nothing.
you can give it to Briggs. He seems to man the Twitter as the show's resident octogenarian. I'll give him a win wherever he can get it.
He's just jealous because you and I have more decades under our belt than he does. That's all.
I tell people all the time, I'm not old. I'm older.
That's it. Exactly.
OLD-ER.
All right, Russ. We sure appreciate it. We got to get a break. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks again. Happy Thanksgiving to both of you as well.
Thanks. You
same
as
to
well.
You. Thank you.
All right, Rick. That was Russ Baxter. We got to get to break. We will be right back. And we're back, Rick. Really enjoyed that segment with Russ Baxter. Rick.
I wish we had a four-hour show and we could just bring Russ on and just ask him, okay, in 1968.
He would know it.
I know.
And
exactly.
I am so impressed by these guys who can go out there, Rick, and just pull stats and talk about games from 10 years ago. I can research it and I can get it on and talk about it. Basically, my job on the show is just as the blowhard. You're a little better at this. I really struggle with this, and I am so impressed when you got guys on, and the amount of football knowledge Russ Baxter has. If you're not following him on everything he listed out, get out there and do it. This guy is a wealth of knowledge.
Well, here's the thing.
I was blown away, Rick. I was blown away by that interview.
Here's the thing. There is so many people that throw the word guru around.
He earned it.
He's a guru,
yeah.
All right?
He earned it, definitely. He can. I'm assuming where that name came from, he earned it, just no question about it. So, Rick, last segment here, I think we need to get into, for our new listeners on the Armed Forces Radio Network, each week we give out a game ball. Obviously, you know what a game ball is, but we also think there ought to be an award for people who really let us down. And so we decided a smelly, stinky, nasty sweat sock goes to those people. So let's give out a few of those before the end of the show, Rick.
Yeah, and look, last week was week 11. And we're really winding down in the fantasy football season. And you're either in the midst of a division race. You may be out of it, but playing spoiler. But, every game is important, and every point you can rack up is important. And some of these predictions certainly didn't ring true for anybody.
True.
Worldwide, we're talking about.
Worldwide.
So let's go with a game ball.
Yeah,
and
let's
keep it positive. I'm going to go with a game ball. My first game ball, and I'll bet you nobody predicted this one. Bobby Rainey.
Yeah,
163 yards, 2 touchdowns, threw in a couple more receptions for 4 yards, but he also got
another
the end zone there. So, 3 touchdowns with this guy and 163 yards. God bless you, happened to pick him up and had him start.
And had the guts to start him. I think he got picked up in most every league. Maybe not in a 10-team league. But if you had the guts to start him, here's a tip of the cap to you. Now, here's what I'm curious about, Rick. This wasn't one week. He had this success when he filled in for, I blanked on the kid's name, James. When he filled in for him, after he went down early in that game, Rainey put up huge numbers. Does it again here last week. Is this legit? Is this for real?
I think the kid's a good runner. I almost have to give some credit to the Tampa Bay line. They have to be doing something a little better. Look, Doug Martin was, 1,600 yards last year and couldn't do anything at the beginning of the year. James actually started performing pretty good. Maybe, I don't know. I really don't know, but I think, Tampa is playing a much better brand of football right now the last two or three games. Randy seems to be stepping right in there. Of course, he is a set of fresh legs. He's not banged up, but he looks good.
Small guy, too. To get 30 carries, I'm impressed. Small guy, little shifty guy. Reminds me of a Darren Sproles, but they just gave him the ball 30 times and he made it work. So there's not a lot of guys, your stalwarts, I'm going to sit them down against. But if you're down in that bottom range looking for a flex, why not take a chance on this kid? It could end at any moment. But why not take a chance? This is 2 weeks. This is a fairly – 2 weeks is a sample size in the NFL. They only play 16 games.
Yeah, and, I mean, Tampa's on a two-game win streak. You may not have thought they were going to win another one last week. I don't know. But, you know, if a team starts improving a little bit, you got to look at those players and get them in your lineup. Like you say, maybe a flex spot.
Yeah, no, I'd be willing to take the risk, especially if you're looking for that home run. If you're sitting at 5-5, 6-4, as we talked about, or I guess you're 6-5 in your fantasy leagues here. Unless I don't think you get a bye week in your fantasy league.
Yeah.
Well, let's keep moving, Rick. I'm going to give a game ball. I brought it up when we talked to Russ. I just want to mention again, Cam Newton, Rick, just manned up. Not massive numbers through the air, 19-28, 209, but 3 touchdowns, 7 carries for 67 yards, making good decisions. Team's not running the ball that well. Jonathan Stewart coming back has been a disappointment. D'Angelo Williams, as his carries have gotten cut, have been bad. Mike Tolbert, good in the red zone, but that's safe for what it is. This is all on Cam Newton's shoulder, and the kid is performing as we saw in stretches his rookie year. This guy is good enough to lead a team, if he's hot, to lead a team to a Super Bowl.
Do you buy into this philosophy, though?
Which philosophy?
D'Angelo Williams is actually a pretty viable back the first half of the season. I mean, I'm not saying talent-wise, but I mean effectively in the games, fantasy-wise, if you want to, since we do talk fantasy. But he was actually, you know, a top running back, a top 15, top 20 running back in the NFL.
Yes.
It just boggles me why they continue to do this. Since Stewart's come back, they're not running the ball as effectively. And I don't know. Of course, they're winning. I mean, don't get me wrong.
Right. And,
but a lot of it's also the stingiest defense in the league. Well, and Cam Newton seems to be throwing them on his shoulders. I still think a running back, especially a guy like a D'Angelo Williams, somebody like that, gets in a rhythm. I think
D'Angelo Williams is good enough to get 25 carries a game and be the number one running back. 2009, I believe it was, I rode D'Angelo Williams to a fantasy championship, him along with Chris Johnson in a game I'm certain you remember.
Yes.
We won't recall the details here. But he was the number one guy, and he performed as a number one guy. They bring Jonathan Stewart in the following year. They try to work him in. Jonathan Stewart's always dinged up. D'Angelo gets on a little bit of a roll. Stewart's a talented kid, too. He can't stay healthy. He's Darren McFadden. D'Angelo Williams, he isn't going to get it done on 8, 9, 10, 12 carries a game.
No.
You're going to have to feed him the ball. He is an elite running back in the NFL, and I would love to see him on a different circumstance, on a different team. That guy could perform as a top fantasy performer, and certainly as an NFL running back, I don't think he's used properly.
I don't either. You know, the worst part about him, he's on the other side of 30. And, I mean, granted, he doesn't have his mileage as some of the guys do at that age, but, you know, his future is limited.
Yeah, no question about it. So, Stinky Sock, Rick, I'll go ahead and start this. Boy, you sort of get a one-game reprieve or a game-and-a-half reprieve from C.J. Spiller, and he comes out 13 carries for 6 yards. What do you do, Rick? You're 2 weeks away from the fantasy playoffs if you're even still in it. What do you do with C.J. Spiller?
Well, I think if you haven't had him benched, you're probably not looking at the playoffs anyway.
Right.
I mean, we've had him benched for about a month now. And, I mean, even coming back from his injury, we kept preaching Fred Jackson was the more effective back. And albeit Fred Jackson's numbers haven't been as spectacular as the beginning of the year.
He's fighting the end zone anyhow.
Exactly. You just have to have him on the bench. I mean, it's kind of a case in point. I mean, one of our game balls, you know, Ray Rice is going to get one here coming up, I'm sure. You know, yeah, maybe you will miss out on a game like that, but you have to get these guys on the bench and play the odds.
Yeah, I think you've got better players there. So, Rick, a smelly sock from you.
I tell you what, I'm going to give one to Gary Kubiak.
Ooh,
I'm still
a rare
on,
coach.
I'm still on this. You're 2-8. your season's done. If you're going to go with a young guy and say, you're my guy right now, then ride him.
Yeah.
Don't let him go in there tight and fearing now that, geez, if I throw a pick, I'm out of there again.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I think that's the worst thing that you can do, especially to a young player. And Schaub going in there, look, Schaub's lost that team. There's no question in my mind. He has lost that team. The fans don't want him in there. Let's get on the new horse. Let's ride Case Keenum out. If you end up, 2-14, then at least chalk it up that he's got the 8 or 9 games under his belt as experience.
Yeah, you get real game experience, not pre-game, not preseason game experience. You get real life experience right now, and it certainly was an interesting move. Back to the game balls for me, Rick. Let me go through my list here. We mentioned, here's a guy we don't talk a lot about, Antonio Brown. Seven catches, 147 yards, and a touchdown. This isn't a terribly uncommon stat line for him. This guy doesn't get a mention with the fantasy elites as far as wide receivers. Mike Wallace leaves town. This kid has stepped up. He's put together a couple. There was the Sunday night game against Chicago, had a huge game. But in a PPR format especially, this guy is a lock for 5-6 catches a game. He's getting free over the middle. He's Ben Roethlisberger's first option every time. This guy should be mentioned amongst the number one fantasy wide receivers, and you don't hear it very often.
Oh, there's no question about that. And, look, Emmanuel Sanders is hurt, and Jericho Cotchery stepping in. Antonio Brown's going to be relied on even more, I think. And you're right. Should be mentioned up there, and he's going to be.
Going into next year. This was a 5th-6th round sort of pick in your fantasy drafts this year. I think he's a 3rd-round type of wide receiver, especially in a PPR format.
Oh, yeah, there's no question about that. Okay, so I believe I owe you a game ball.
Hey, before you do that, interesting tidbit. We talk about disappointing guys with C.J. Spiller. We do record this. For those of you listening on the Armed Forces Network, we do record this on Thursday night. Steven Jackson on the Falcons' first drive, 5 carries, 24 yards, and a touchdown. Maybe Steven Jackson turning around a little bit.
Well, he certainly has the talent, and, he's certainly capable of it, but there's another case in point. You probably didn't have Steven Jackson in your starting lineup unless you really had been banged
up.
Unless
you're desperate.
Exactly. So, if you happen to have him in his flex or something like that, good for you.
As Rick's computer starts talking to him and panic ensues, certainly fun to see. So, Rick, I'll go ahead and give another game ball as you feverishly smash buttons on your laptop. This is the greatest thing I've ever seen. Let's stick with the game we were just talking about. Harry Douglas last week, Rick, 6 grabs, 134 yards and a touchdown, just continues to do it week in and week out, even with Roddy White coming back. And Roddy White had not a big statistical game, but found the end zone getting worked back into that lineup. But Harry Douglas, just a PPR monster.
Oh, I tell you what, I just love Harry Douglas. And it'll be interesting to see. I'm not sure what his contract year is and so forth, but it'll be interesting. This guy's going to get a payday somewhere. And, I'm thinking Roddy White has maybe, I think, one more year in his deal. I tell you what. They haven't lost anything losing Julio Jones they have, don't get me wrong, and the season stinks. But they didn't have Julio Jones and Roddy White in there, but he has been getting numbers. And I'm very impressed with that guy.
So, Rick, getting up against it here, about 2 minutes left, 3 minutes left in the show. Why don't you give us one more smelly sock? We'll do them in rapid-fire succession here.
Okay, I have to get to your Geno Smith Island that you put yourself on with Scott Fish and I.
Please listen to the Sunday Slant 10 Eastern on Blog Talk Radio each and every Sunday.
Yes,
you can hear me make a fool of myself.
We actually do provide some good information, but this one was just a real swing and a miss. 103 yards, no touchdowns, 3 picks, and that translates to -6.33 fantasy points. He actually scored less fantasy points than Billy Bullock and Vince Young, and they're not even playing.
So, yeah, if Vince Young and Billy Bullock outscore you in the fantasy, I may have been wrong on that one. Geno Smith Island wasn't kind to me. And if you listen to the slant, you'll know that what that means. Well, Rick, we are plumb out of time. We got to plumb. Well, I wonder why people say that. I'm going to look into that. Plumb out of time. So, but we got to get out of here. Thank you again to everyone at the Armed Forces Radio Network for having us on. Check them out on Facebook at the Armed Forces Radio Network. It's also armedforcesradionetwork.org or .co, I think is is the appropriate way to say it there. Again, we don't say it enough, a true honor being on the Armed Forces Radio Network. So, like I said, if you haven't listened before, check us out each Sunday morning, 10 a.m. Eastern, AsylumFantasySports.com and Blog Talk Radio for the Inside Slant.
Yeah, and a special thanks to Russ Baxter, you know, the Bax football guru. I mean, we just a plethora of knowledge. It was just great talking with him. We got to have him back on. It was a great time.
No doubt about it. So thanks again, everybody. We will talk to you again soon, 10 o'clock Eastern, Sunday morning. Till then, we'll see you.
Take care.